super fun and all about artisan cheese and more to melt your peaceful heart and toast your peaceful life. Coming to you from the Appalachian Mountains of southwestern Virginia, this is the Peaceful Heart Farmcast.
Hey, this is Scott Hall from Peaceful Heart Farm, and you are listening to the Peaceful Heart Farmcast.
Hello, everybody. Melanie Hall here. Hope you're doing well. The conversation today and every day revolves around the value of tradition, traditional homestead living, traditional raw milk products, and artisan cheese. Topics discussed here are designed to create new perspectives and possibilities for how you might add the taste of tradition to your life. Breeding sheep is one of the most enjoyable enterprises on our homestead. Sheep were the very first animals we introduced way back in 2010. Yeah, over 10 years ago. They have been a central part of our operation ever since then. And I'm going to talk about that today. First of all, though, welcome new listeners. Welcome back, veteran homestead-loving regulars who stop by the Farmcast for every episode. Thank you all so much for listening. And I'm so excited to share with you what's going on at the farm this week. Now, before we get to the sheep, what else is going on here at the homestead? Well, the creamery. The holes in the wall are still being filled by Scott. Who knew it was going to take this much time to complete that task? Well, the building is rather large, and parts of it are very high. That requires special ladders and sometimes scaffolding and such to be able to reach the tallest parts of the walls. And additionally, Scott is finishing the concrete block walls in such a way that they resemble stucco. It takes a bit more time and effort, but the result is quite beautiful. I'm very pleased with the effort. I can't wait to see it painted. Maybe a nice off-white kind of stucco color to enhance the look. I don't know. We shall see. I actually leave color decisions to Scott. I have no head for decorating. Thank God he has a wonderful head for it. Everything he builds reflects his eye for beauty, symmetry, style, color, and so much more. Now let's talk about the quail. We now have 7 breeding sets of quail. Count them, 7. We made a day of it a couple days ago. Somewhere along the line, we lost one that I didn't know about. The final count in the penthouse was 56 birds. So during that day, we processed 32 of them and kept 24 additional birds for egg production. After we finished the processing, we went back out to their cages and took every single bird out of their cages. So there are 5 of them now. There are 3 smaller cages that have 5 hens and 1 rooster, and the penthouse, which is divided into 2 parts, now has 10 hens and 2 roosters on each side. So there's 24 on the top, 12 on each side, and then there are 3 cages of 6 down below. So Scott spent lots of time cleaning up those cages and getting them sanitized for the winter and replacing their sand boxes. They like to take sand baths to keep the mites and other pests down. Now, have you ever wondered why birds are called fowl? Well, there's another spelling of the word fowl. The bird is F-O-W-L, right? But there's another word, F-O-U-L, and it has to do with awful smells. I tend to think that this is why they are referred to as fowl, because they smell foul. All birds have to have their roosts, cages, and runs cleaned regularly. Otherwise, they smell additionally foul. Well, there's always some smell from time to time, no matter what you do. Take that into consideration when planning the location of your chicken and or quail homes, because even when you clean them out, you're piling that stuff somewhere. So there's always a foul smell. Now, another addition to the quail housing was adding lights. They will now have light for 14 hours a day. That is what's required for them to produce eggs. The new girls have yet to lay a single egg. And the older hens, 15 of them, as I said, were down to producing no more than 6 to 8 eggs per day between them. So, and even that would have dropped to zero or nearly zero in the near future. Inadequate amounts of light make feeding your birds through the winter kind of counterproductive. There is an automatic timer on the lights, and it comes on at 4 a.m. and will stay on until 6 p.m. So even on a dreary day like today, they have plenty of light. And we use bulbs that produce the, quote, daylight spectrum of light. It's not quite the same as most grow lights. Well, I take that back. I think lots of grow lights are going to the daylight spectrum to more closely emulate growing plants outdoors. It probably depends on the plant. So it's the same for the birds. We want them to have as natural a light as possible. Now, because we have 7 sets of breeders, that means there are 35 hens out there. If those lights work like we hope, we could potentially have 35 eggs per day in a couple of weeks. It will take at least a week, and perhaps two, for the light to affect their egg production. And even just the fact that we were taking them in and out of the cages and all of that upsetting them, that sometimes upsets their egg production as well. And in addition to the additional light, they get lots of good nutrition and supplements to make sure they have everything they need to be healthy and productive. We love our quail, and you know that, don't you? All right, we love our donkeys too. I got to say hi to the donkeys a couple of times in the last few days. I haven't been seeing them too much lately, as my homestead tasks have led me elsewhere, and it's so good to see them up close and personal. And they are personal. Donkeys love humans. They love human attention, and we love giving it to them. And it won't be long, and they will be getting another bit of attention that is not so popular with them, but necessary. Hoof trimming. Yes, they need to get their toenails done. Scott handles the nail salon, and I just offer comfort while the uncomfortable deed is accomplished. And they're all getting more and more used to it. Daisy, I think she nearly falls asleep while it's going on, where Johnny and Coco, they still have some real fear issues with it, and they get pretty antsy. They're getting better, though, each time. And we shall see how it goes this time, especially Coco. She's almost there. Maybe they both will have completely overcome their fear, just like Daisy and Sweet Pea have. Let's talk about the cows and the calves. The cowgirls are doing fantastic. Rosie, our New Jersey, has integrated well into the herd. She's low man on the totem pole, as would be expected, but she's getting along with everyone and thriving in her new environment. Scott is training her and retraining Cloud to come into the milking shed and stick their heads into the milking stanchion. This is in preparation for the vet to do pregnancy checks on all of the girls. The milking stanchions are very convenient for restraining our girls in comfort while the medical checks and treatments are performed. And I think I'll ask Scott about cutting off Rosie's horns too. Once she's used to putting her head in the stanchion, we can easily saw off those horns of hers. It's quick and painless, but she will definitely need to be restrained for her safety and ours. As far as weaning the calves, We're nearing the time when they'll be completely weaned. A week or so ago, I stopped giving them their second bottle of whole milk in the evening. They would get whole milk in the morning, whole milk in the evening, and also skim milk in the evening. So at the present time, they get a half a gallon of whole milk only in the morning, and in the evening, they get a half a gallon of skim milk. And as soon as my stores of skim milk run out, they will only get whole milk in the morning. And then that'll last for a week or so, and then no milk at all. And then after the cows are completely dried up and we know that they can't nurse them anymore, we can put the calves in with the big girl cows. So we are still milking the big girls twice a day, but that is about to change. Their milk becomes less and less as the days go on. It's going down pretty quickly now. The longer they go into the milking cycle, the less milk that they give. And also the quality of the milk also changes as they get later into their lactation cycle. Soon, it will be time to dry them up completely. And now that means we will go to only milking once a day, and then once every other day, and finally stopping altogether. And there'll be more details on that in a later podcast as we get into the actually drying them off. We'll start that process in a week or so. Now, as far as the garden and a little bit about fruits, we're still waiting on that first frost. So the garden is actually still going. Scott said he thought that the first frost might come in the next couple of days, as soon as the rain from the remnants of Hurricane Zeta stops. It just started this afternoon. It's going to go on for quite a while. We'll get 2 or 3 inches. And I didn't want the lima beans to be soaked at the same time that I was forced to pick them before a frost. I didn't want them to be soaking wet. So I did what any other sane homesteader would do. I rushed out there this morning before the rain started and picked everything. Literally, I pulled up the plant, stripped the bean pods, and piled the plants to the side. It only took a little while, and I'm glad to get that part done. The pods were actually still wet from the last rain we had from the remnants of Hurricane Delta. At least I think Delta was a hurricane. I have the beans laid out on newspaper to dry right now, so they're a little bit wetter than I would have liked to them, but they're in a good place where they can dry out easily without molding. Can you believe the number of named storms this year? I think this is the first time in my 65 years that we've gone completely through the alphabet and now 5 letters so far into the Greek alphabet. And we still have another month to go in the official tropical storm / hurricane season. And 11 of them have hit the U.S. coast as either a tropical storm or a hurricane. Most were relatively small. Tropical storms are Category 1 or 2 hurricanes. Now, Laura was a Category 4 hurricane, and I believe 6 of them have hit the Gulf Coast, mostly Louisiana, so pray for them down there. Even Category 1 and 2 hurricanes can bring lots of water damage and some wind damage as well. Okay, that was a bit of a tangent. Back to the garden. I know I said I had picked all the tomatoes, but I did pick a few more. I was supposed to be done with the tomatoes, but there were a few that looked really good, so I snagged them. I have quite a few avocados in the fridge, and some guacamole always sounds good to me. It will be missing that lovely fresh cilantro taste as all of those plants died, but we will make do somehow. A couple of days ago, I picked peppers yet again. I have plenty of jalapenos for the guac. I have so many peppers in the refrigerator, I really, really need to get cracking on getting the pepper jam completed and drying the rest in the dehydrator. Speaking of dehydrating, I grew all of that celery to be dried as well. That needs to be harvested, but I wasn't too worried about it being wet. The wetness will help keep it fresh as I work my way through the entire crop. So if it's wet and I harvest it, you know, it can stay moist, and that's a good thing for the celery. Other things on the dehydrating list include basil, parsley, oregano, and thyme. Now, Scott brought me a few grapes to try out. They are muscadine. We get a few more each year, but still not many to speak of at this point in the maturity of those plants. Soon, very soon, that will change. Looking forward to making grape jam and maybe some muscadine wine. The strawberries have survived the onslaught of weeds and are blooming once again. Can you believe it? Those are tough little plants. I have a better plan for them next year, so more on that later as well. All right, let's talk about sheep breeding. A couple of days ago, I was talking with Scott about the sheep breeding schedule and what we need to do to accomplish our goals. Well, first was clarifying and getting on the same page with goals. We had already discussed this, so it was a matter of recalling the final decision. Anyway, a funny anecdote related to sheep breeding talk was the ewe that was eager to get started. So just about the time we were discussing our plan, this ewe was hanging out all by herself near the closest fence that she could get to the boys. She was really persistent. Now, number one, ewes nearly always stay together. Nobody goes off on her own. They're very skittish and careful animals. But this young lady was actively looking for romance. I walked almost right up to her before she moved away, and I was walking down the travel lane on my way to bring up the cowgirls for milking. And there she was, hanging out near the gate, mooning over the boys that she could see across the field but could not get to. I walked up to her, and she finally moved away a few feet. She walked along the lane for 20 feet or so, and then she stopped and looked around at me to see if I was still coming. I was. She turned and went another 20 feet or so before stopping yet again, just to make sure I was still there, and that it would be impossible for her to get around me. You could see her kind of eyeing, can I make it around her? So this ewe was really persistent, and she continued this behavior all the way back to the main flock, stopping every few feet to turn around and look to see if she could get back past me. Now, once we got there, she stayed with the rest of the flock while I rounded up the girls, and then I began the trek back to the milking shed. And about the time I got all the way up to the holding area and closed the fence that keeps the cows in while they wait their turn at milking, she was right back down there at the corner, mooning over the boys yet again. Don't worry, honey, you'll get your chance in just a few more days. The great switcheroo of animals will begin. The boys will stay with the girls for most of the winter. Sometime in late spring, we will separate the boys again and put all the girls back together. Then we await the most glorious event of spring, the birthing of lambs. So which ewes will we breed? There are currently 12 ewes in the flock. We are going to breed 4 of them. These will be the 4 older ewes, and that means we can expect up to 8 lambs in the spring. We had 10 last year, and that came about because we just bred all of them, young and old. The first year ewe usually has a single lamb, and then sometimes older ewes will only have 1 lamb as well. However, it's more common that the second year and each year thereafter, a ewe will have twins and sometimes triplets. So last year, 3 of the older girls had twins, and 1 older girl had a single, and all 3 of the younger girls had singles. And there was another ewe. We used to have 5 older girls. There was 1 ewe that did not have any. And since then, we've eliminated the oldest ewe. She was getting on up there in years. And we will be going with the 4 remaining older ewes, and they're between 3 and 5 years old. So this is the current makeup of our main breeder flock. We've got these 4 ewes that are between 3 and 5 years old. Then we've got these 3 younger ewes. They will not be bred again. And the reason for that is Lambert, our new breeding ram, is half sibling to 2 of them and a full sibling to 1 of them. And that simply won't work if we want to maintain strong genetics. And then there are all of the other young ewe lambs that were born this year. So all of those are going to come out. The 3 younger ones and all the ewe lambs are going to come out, and they'll be in a separate place while Lambert is in there with the breeding ewes. Now, in order to accomplish only breeding the 4 selected ewes, it means we need to bring them all in, separate the ones that will be bred from the rest of the flock, and then put these 2 groups now into 2 separate spaces. And then we bring up the boys and introduce them to the breeding ewes. We can put all of the boys in with the breeding girls because only 1 of them is still intact. That would be Lambert, our breeding ram. And this will be his first season, and I will pray that he does well. His dad did well. We had those 10 lambs last year, but unfortunately he died over the winter. Now, we could also put the boys other than Lambert in with all of the younger ewes that are not being bred this year. But that would require a second routine to get Lambert separated from the other boys. Scott will make that call when we get to that point. There are so many decisions, these simple little things that go into every activity on our homestead. Each one has pros and cons, and making the decision one year may not be the same as the previous year. And circumstances are always changing. I was listening to Kanye West in his interview with Joe Rogan talking about how hard it is to farm. He's trying to develop farming methods that will help more poor populations to have access to really good food. So farming is so much more than putting some seeds into the ground and waiting for them to grow. And it's the same with animals. It is so much more than just putting them out there in the pasture and watching them graze. Every decision is well thought out. It's a plan to fulfill a current need. And those needs are always evolving and changing. And some of the decisions turn out to be counterproductive. And so next year you do something different. There's always next year. And there are always new opportunities to improve. So that's it for today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed the trip around the homestead and the details of all of the small little decisions that go into sheep breeding. It is always my pleasure to share our joy with you. And perhaps you've gotten some new ideas on what to do for your own dreams. And perhaps you just came along for the ride. In any case, we'll keep you in the loop. We're heading into fall and winter. Likely, I'll slow down a little and perhaps only podcast a couple of times a month. The spring and summer are always so full and it's go, 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 go. But slowing down for winter is just another way that we work in harmony with nature. If you enjoyed this podcast, please hop over to Apple Podcasts or whatever podcasting service you use. Subscribe. Give me a 5-star rating and review. And if you like this content and want to help out the show, the absolute best way you can do that is to share it with any family or friends who might be interested in this type of content. Let them know about the Peaceful Heart Farmcast. Thank you so much for stopping by the homestead. And until next time, may God fill your life with grace and peace.